Hello, I'm Elish Quinn. This is Arctic Tourism and the Pandemic, a Radio Canada International podcast. Well, in our first episode, we spoke to the head of the Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada for an overview of how the tourism shutdown was affecting Inuit and First Nations-owned businesses in the north. And we wanted to dig a bit deeper now into how all this is affecting Arctic hunters who also work as guides. So in today's episode, we're speaking to George Angoyaktuk, head of the Cambridge Bay Hunters and Trappers Association in Nunavut. Now, we cover a lot of ground in this conversation, the importance of tourism dollars and allowing hunters to maintain their very expensive equipment, how the tourism freeze is affecting younger and older hunters differently, and how the community is pulling together despite it all. So, let's dig in. In many Nunavut communities, hunters, besides hunting for their families, that they're also working as guides. They take people out on the land when there's hunters that come up to the Arctic. Tell us about how important that was in the economy in a community like Cambridge Bay.
Our roles as guides over the years have really flourished from taking out people in town just for a couple hours. It's a really good pay for a guide to go out and spend an afternoon or spend a day or even a few days for that matter. Our guides were really enjoying the good times. People were coming in, they wanted to see the north, so we took them out and showed them things like going out to the seal hole or going out to catch a caribou, or that was the tourism side of it. And then we had the sports hunting side of it. That was just incredible. From the first day that I started guiding up until just a couple of years ago, the change has been so drastic. From very few people in the early days knowing about guiding for a big game and the money that it brought in, it was a huge difference to all of us. I mean, when we take a client out and go after big game, after one guided hunt, we can purchase large equipment, whether that be snowmobile or boat and motor or something of that nature, to assist us in continuing our guiding ventures. That would just resupply us and assist us. So we've had gear over the years of guides who are doing so well. I mean, our outfitter is amazing too. He helps us out in setting accounts for parts. Every time we take a client out, we earn a few extra dollars to help us with parts or anything that we need on our guiding ventures. Until last year, that was a really drastic change. We went from good days and good times to busy all the time to nothing. There was no more guiding. There was no more income that we depend on. So a lot of our guides in town are trying to make ends meet, trying to find other things to do. And it's tough. Not everybody can get a job in a community where everybody wants to work and make a few bucks now with this pandemic going on. So it's been very tough, especially for the older guides that don't have too many other skills. Younger guys are doing not too bad. They can take on roles, labor jobs in the community where a lot of strength is required from the individuals. But for the older guys, it's like myself, it's pretty tough to make ends meet without that steady flow of tourism income that we learn to depend on. So that's been a really big change from my point of view. Is that it went from really good times to money floating around to nothing. Everything come to a standstill, to a stop. We have no more clients coming in, food on the table and things like that are a little hard now. So we're hoping that in a very near future we'll get back to living our regular lives. I mean, regular in the sense of being able to have people come and go as they please, like they did a couple of years ago.
What are the kind of conversations you're having with some of your members about that side of it?
Well, it's mentioned all the time. You know, of course, we're all hoping for better days, for better things. This pandemic is worldwide, and we know that it affects the whole world. So we've learned to accept the fact that we can't change anything right now. We just have to live day by day. And, of course, yeah, for a lot of the older people, it's pretty hard now, having to depend on the community now. Like, our community is really good. Our community loves its people, and we have hunters that go out. Because tourism, too, was looking after all the purchasing of fuel that we needed to get out. And without that tourism, the guides have no more income. They can't buy fuel to go out just to take their family out. It's really hard now. Fuel and oil and things like that you need to get out is hard to come by now. So you depend on family and friends to assist you. If you want to go out, maybe you get a can of gas from your sibling or such or a family member. Yes, it's very difficult. Every household I know that depended on Mother Nature and all she had to offer before, that's come to a standstill. So really, really a big change, negative change in our livelihood.
Has there been any assistance from the government, or have you spoken with other hunters and trappers organizations in Nunavut to think of solutions or things that you'd like to see?
Being chairman of the HTO, I sit on a few other boards, and one of those is we get funding from the government, yes, for our community. They supply funding to purchase from the hunters some country food, so some of the guides are able to go out and harvest either fish or anything with meat, like muskox or caribou. But caribou in Cambridge Bay is really difficult because we're on a tagging system now.
Right.
We can't harvest any caribou without a tag. So even if we do see caribou while we're out, we're forced that we can't harvest. Because of the total allowable harvest that the government put on our hunters. We're only allowed so many dolphin and union caribou that live with us on the island now. They head south in the winter and back in the spring, spend the summer here. So those we can't even harvest now without a tag, so it's difficult. The other herds of caribou that we harvest, that we depend on, never made it to our area, so it's been really difficult for our hunters. When you have to go a great distance, you have to purchase a lot of fuel, a lot of supplies. You spend 4, 5, 6 days a week maybe to stay out, and a lot of our guides can't afford that anymore. That's a really sad part of it. Being unable to get out and being unable to purchase your fuel to get out, and some of the equipment that they've been using over the last 2 years. When you use your equipment all the time, it wears out, and your guides or harvesters are definitely feeling, you know, the negative impacts of this COVID.
What would you like to see happen that tourism would pick up once everyone is vaccinated, or what would you like to see happen?
The thing about the North, we don't have a whole lot of medical facilities that when somebody gets really ill with unknown illness, there's not a whole lot that they can do here. Like if we had COVID hit here, would be in a world of hurt because we don't have the facilities or the knowledge of how to deal with them. So we're really dependent on the government and very leery about traffic coming in from the south all the time. All our community members, the elders, are afraid of something hitting Cambridge Bay like it hit Albert, that is a very scary thought, and we always keep that in mind when we see people or telling our kids and children that to stay safe, you know, not too much into other people, places that you don't normally go to. It's difficult to live day by day with everything, even just the school, getting into school and wondering, you know, and praying that that COVID never hits our community. And so far it's been, the effort of our community has been really good, and our Nunavut government has been very, their reaction has been very good, knowing the lack of facilities that we can use here if we ever got hit big time. So, you know, hats off to our government for keeping our people safe up to this point, and having faith that they will continue and will pull through this somehow.
So you agree then that even though it's such a challenge without the tourism economy in the community, but you're of the opinion, you agree that things shouldn't open up until the pandemic is completely under control?
Oh, yes, definitely. I wouldn't push anything to open up right away. We'll see a few things that they do in the south, where they open up places too early, and certainly it just spreads like wildfire, that COVID. Very toxic, very easily spread, undetectable most of the time. So it's a very scary situation that we're living in today. And everybody's aware of it now, in all the communities. Trying to be safe, trying not to take unnecessary risks, things like that. It definitely is a difficult time for sure.
And I remember that even when I was in Cambridge Bay, I mean, there were hunters from all over, from southern Canada, from the United States, from Texas. Do you worry that once the world, sort of as we go into the post-pandemic world, are you worried about difficulties in getting those people back? Or do you think there anything is going to have to be done to market Nunavut, or to remind people, about how special it is? Or are you even thinking of that at this point?
Well, it's hard to think of something to get something started again. The only thing on my mind right now, along with my fellow people that I live with and deal with on a day-to-day basis, is just to get through this pandemic, to survive it, and have as many community members and family get through it as well. And the last thing on our mind, or on my mind, is how are we going to, like the question that you asked, you know, it's way down in a future where everything would come back to normal. And even when I see that come back to normal, you know, I have a few skeptical saying that it seems like we're never going to be normal again. Something hit us like this, and we hear stories, from the Bible about things like this, the events that happen, and it's true. You see a lot of truth in it. Something that you never dreamed of could affect the entire planet. Just hit us, and that's scary. The last thing on my mind is how we're going to get everything back to normal. I think about what we're thinking is day by day struggles to get through this, one step at a time. Hopefully the rest of the world will come through this in a positive manner. I know that we lost a whole lot of people, never made it, and still a lot of people in trouble and dire straits from this pandemic. And it's hard to think straight when you're trying to think of what you're asking. We're more concentrated and centered around day-to-day life right now. Just get through it is our major goal right now.
What are you seeing in your community in terms of the resilience? What are people drawing on to get through this?
Well, there's some small things that are happening now. The community is really strong. We have, since it's not in Cambridge Bay, we have some gatherings with limited numbers and, of course, distancing, social distancing. But things like keeping the young people busy. We're doing some sewing classes in the schools, and some things with our hunters too. We're teaching a few things on the new equipment, like the mesas, where you could record sightings and signs of things like caribou that are on TAH right now. So things like that, trying to keep busy, trying to keep occupied and with the community. And our community is really great, beautiful, wonderful, caring members in the community, and really shows, you know, a few key people that go that extra mile, that little extra effort, goes a long ways, and it shows people enjoying themselves. Gymnasium in the evenings and little gatherings, of course, keeping social distancing in mind and trying to keep things for the community to do, like some bingos that they do, different events that we're trying to do to involve the community with social distancing in mind.
George, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me.
Have a great day. Okay, bye-bye.
This has been Arctic Tourism in the Pandemic, a Radio Canada International podcast.